simply do newscast here. We start off with headlines. We start off with a small musical sound effect. We do as few as two headlines, as many as three, seldom more, plus a sports headline. All of these are very brief. They're more like news teasers than anything else, but it is a good cross-section of what the three or four most important items are going to be in the following 5, 7, or 10-minute newscast.
Good morning. At 9 o'clock, it's 48 degrees in the city, sunny and mild today and tomorrow. Wholesale prices up again. Food prices at the supermarket may soon reflect the increase. There's a report the Amex has decided to stay in New York at new quarters to be financed by the state. And the Arab summit begins in Iraq as Prime Minister Begin meets Cyrus Vance in New York. In sports, the Nets make it a 5-game winning streak. I'm Frank Settapani, WNEW News. In Washington, the government has just issued its latest inflation report.
The rate of increase held steady for wholesale prices, now called producer prices by the government. Dennis Galino at the Labor Department.
The dollar turned in another strong performance on the foreign currency exchanges today, while gold fell. The tough new plan to strengthen the dollar, announced yesterday by President Carter, is credited with dramatically reversing the recent slide. According to the New York Post, a $40 million offer from New York State will keep the American Stock Exchange from moving across to New Jersey, Jersey City specifically. Such a move has been bandied about for several years. According to the report, the state and the Urban Development Corporation would provide construction funds for a new Amex on the western tip of Manhattan. Currently, the exchange is located on Trinity Place. About 2,000 people work at the American Stock Exchange, and the Amex produces millions of dollars for the New York City economy. The Arab summit officially begins in Baghdad, Iraq today. The aim of that meeting is to develop a strategy that would counteract the Egyptian-Israeli peace talks. Iraq and Syria are among the nations pushing aggressively for a boycott of the Egyptians. They oppose a separate Egyptian-Israeli agreement.
I'll give you some heresy here because most news directors you talk to will give you all those marvelous things about how the sanctity of their job and their product. I believe you have got to follow the format of your radio station. I think any news director that tries to put on news that clashes with what his listeners are expecting to get is a damn fool. I want my program directors at every station I work at to tell me, first of all, who their audience is. I want their demographics. I want their psychographics. I want their economic background. Tell me who you've got. And here's where the heresy comes in. The only job of a news director is to make sure they don't turn you off. Because if you're talking to nobody, then you aren't doing the job. So, yes, I will give them the kind of stories that the demographics of these figures show me our audience is interested in. Will I sometimes tell them things they should know about, even if they don't like it? Of course. But if I have them listening to me for the things that they want to hear, then I can sneak in the stuff I know they should hear.
You have to do that in a certain way.
Yeah, it has to do with the type of people we hire, the type of voices they have, their capabilities of writing things simply or complicated, breaking down stories into a friendly fashion. For instance, there's no way in the world we could use heavy sound effects here, raucous intros or closes. I don't want a man who speaks too quickly on this air because we're a relaxed kind of an audience. Our music, even on the rock side of the station, is a very mellow, easy rock. Anything with clashes of that, anything that makes somebody stir from their chair and say, oh, damn, and go for that off and on dial, kills me. I don't think enough radio news directors take into consideration that if you're reading a newspaper and come to a column you don't like, you turn the page, but you've still got the bloody newspaper. But if I give them something they don't like here, and that even includes length, if I go too long on a story that's boring, they're going to turn me off. They don't have me anymore. They got somebody else. They might never come back. They've got to come back to us. Length of stories is critical because, again, no one listener is going to approve of every story you've got on. So you've got to get to the point where that story they don't like ends before they move from the chair.
There are those in the business who say stations have become tape collectors, that they run far too many actualities inside their newscasts. Jim Gordon disagrees.
I don't especially care for people who say actuality for actuality's sake is wrong, because that's not so. Actuality, and I think that Megan's survey proved that, has a tendency to influence the listener, to perk up the interest, to break up that droning sound of one voice. I don't care how good your newsman, unless he's a spectacular actor with a spectacular delivery, you've got to break up his or her voice occasionally. The actuality has a tendency to do it. It sharpens it. I don't like talking head actualities. I would like to get the people in the street, the people affected by things. I get sick and tired of hearing the same mayor, the same governor saying the same crap time after time after time. But we are forced to do it many times just to break up the flow. As for the Koch or Governor Kerry, the shorter their actualities, the better. Just a simple, maybe an exclamation from ha, might be what I want. Let my professional announcer say what Koch says, because, damn it, he says it better. He really does. Unless you're trying to prove something, if you have a mayor who stumbles and stutters and stammers, there used to be a tendency, you know, to clean those things up so the guy made sense. Well, we are creating mayors that didn't exist. let the people know that he stutters and stammers and can't put two words straight, and they'll understand who he is.
What about dead-end intros? Do you use those at all?
Give me an example.
Police Chief Daryl Gates had this to say.
Hate it. It makes my flesh turn. There are occasions when there's almost no way to avoid it because the guy's got the act out at the last minute and he's ad-libbing. I think they're deadly. I think they sound inane. The one I really hate is, and he tells us more about that, or he explains why, or she explains why. There's no reason for them. In 99% of the time, you don't even have to make the intro. You can state the facts up front that Mayor Koch is holding a news conference, for instance. You can say what he's talking about, and that's it. You can say, and he discussed the welfare program in the city of New York, and let the mayor come in. If he doesn't come in, that bloody card hangs up, as it has a tendency to do, then you just ad-lib your way out, and nobody even knows it's there. We have a tendency here, the general rule is that my reporters identify themselves at the top. They do not sign off. For the same reason, we avoid those redundant intros that Peggy Stockton covered that story. Here comes Peggy Stockton signing off at the end. He doesn't have to say Peggy Stockton covered the story. He can mention the fact that a reporter's at City Hall in the headlines. When he comes to the story, just punch the button. And here comes Peggy out of no place saying, hey, this is Peggy Stockton at City Hall. It sounds like a hot switch. It sounds interesting. People know who she is, where she's at, and the newscaster doesn't have to worry about making up some kind of a nice original intro to her.
How'd that dog get past the turnstile?
I'm Peggy Stockton. Lassie rode the E-train at rush hour. Well, it wasn't really Lassie. It was a large, beautiful brown and white collie. But it was the E-train at Continental Avenue. The doors of the car opened and the collie just walked in and sat down. Passengers described the dog as very obedient. One woman decided to get the dog off the train at Queens Plaza because the next stop was Manhattan, and she figured it would be harder to get the dog home from there. The ASPCA has taken the collie to its Queens office on Prince Street. It's described as large, beautiful, very well behaved, with a flea collar, but no ID. And this is no Shaggy Dog story.
Your collie missing, check with the ASPCA on Prince Street.